During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Joining us now on Sports Saturday is RJ Ochoa, the manager of Blogging the Boys, the SB Nation site down in Dallas for the Cowboys. RJ, how is it going? You live in San Antonio, but can you tell us how the state of Texas, I guess, is doing in all of this?
Yeah, well, so it's good to be with you, Allie. Last time we spoke was World Cup time, which was a lot of fun. So always fun things when you and I chat. It's really hot in Texas. And that is terrible. I played golf last weekend in a socially distanced way, obviously, and it was awful. I thought that a tee time at 3 o'clock would be fine, and I was so wrong. but from May to like August, September, really, we're just surviving. Like every day is just melting all the time. And then maybe in November we'll break 60, and you can pull out like your heaviest jacket. That's how we are.
I didn't know hot until I went down to Texas. I really hadn't been that much in my lifetime up until last year, I think it was. I went to Houston, Austin, and Dallas for a variety of different reasons. And I'm like, I've never experienced a heat like this. And I'm from the Midwest, and Missouri gets pretty hot, but it's a different kind of animal down there.
Yeah, people think that they've experienced it, and Houston has like a high level of humidity. I'm actually from the Rio Grande Valley, which is like the southern tip of Texas, and that will rock your world. That, like, when I was like in high school, like you would leave, like, I always wonder now, like, how we used to like leave the house at like 7 o'clock. Like, leave the house, that seems impossible.
Yeah.
But like you would leave outside and you would just get like soaked in humidity. It was awful, but you know, we survived.
Well, and now with the pandemic, there's more of a reason to stay inside in the air conditioning where you don't feel as much pressure to get outside. One, because of the heat, and two, just because it's not really what we can do right now. But RJ, I want to start with the NFL draft because the Cowboys walked away from that draft with a lot of their fans very happy. And I think Jerry Jones being very happy himself. The biggest pickup was clearly CeeDee Lamb, the wide receiver out of Oklahoma, falling to number 17, getting a very unexpected weapon, I guess, at that point in the draft, but a very lethal one. What was the reaction, not just for you covering the team, but for Cowboys fans after that draft? And how excited is everyone?
It was, so this has been a really fun, from a football standpoint, obviously off season, because it's a new coaching staff at the Cowboys. And because they had Jason Garrett for so long, we had really developed a tell for the rhymes and rhythms of the Cowboys and how they operated and, you know, what they liked and what they didn't like. So every year was just kind of more of the same. And so this year was like a puzzle. I mean, I haven't done a puzzle in quarantine. I know some people have. It was like a puzzle trying to figure out like, what is Mike McCarthy like, and how is the team going to go, and how are they going to handle things under his leadership? And so for so long, we've seen the Cowboys reach on players. And I think the most notable example is 3 years ago, they reached on Taco Charlton in the first round and passed up TJ Watt, which is something people are still pretty upset about. And so when CeeDee Lamb started to fall, I think right around 14, it became obvious just based on other teams' needs that he was going to be there for the Cowboys at 17 overall. They had really heavily been linked to Kalavon Chaisson, the LSU edge rusher that went to the Jaguars. And so it actually became kind of exciting because it was so obvious that we were going to get an opportunity to sort of present this fork in the road to them. Who were they really going to be? Were they going to be this team that drafted based off need, or were they going to acknowledge that this incredible player fell to them and they had to take him? The last time we really saw them do that was 6 years ago when they took Zach Martin, and obviously that ended up working out really well for them. And so it was exciting kind of allowing that situation to unfold and happen. And then when they took him, I mean, it was so great from the perspective, obviously, of them getting a good football player, a great football player, but it's more exciting in the disposition that it exemplifies. I mean, this is clearly a different team, and that's what so many people have wanted to see for so long. And so they clearly are thinking differently and operating differently. And we saw that with the rest of their picks. I mean, every single one of them, they got enormous value, and it was just a completely different draft than really they had in the last decade. And so I think in if that makes sense, beyond the players themselves, it was inspiring because it means that culturally they have shifted a lot of the way they're thinking. Because it sounds weird to call the drafting of CeeDee Lamb brave, but it, you know, wide receiver was a need for the Cowboys, but it wasn't this like screaming in your face need. It felt a little bit like the Chiefs taking Mecole Hardman last year, although that was there was obviously some different context around that at the time. But yeah, I mean, so it's exciting to see that they're willing to just kind of roll with it and adapt, which is something that Jason Garrett wasn't able to do.
You talk about this new era of Dallas Cowboys football, and we can go back through the history and the disappointment that the Cowboys have experienced for the last couple of decades now since their last Super Bowl win in 95. I want to start with Mike McCarthy. What have the conversations with him been like, and what's your impression of him as a head coach in this limited amount of time that you've had so far?
Well, so for all his faults, Jason Garrett really did fit the mold, I think, of what people think the Cowboys head coach should be. He was very polished in the media and this, you know, honestly, you know, when, you know, dealing with him off to the side or things like that, really an incredibly charming person. And, you know, you would hear him like that and you would say, I get it. You know, I get how he could captivate somebody. But Mike McCarthy is a little bit different, kind of has a Midwest vibe to him, kind of the guy, you know, let's go fishing. Let's crack open some beers and, you know, kind of a more of a traditional football guy in that sense, obviously from Pittsburgh. So he's got that, you know, kind of talk and walk with him and it's really cool. And obviously, you know, Mike McCarthy won a Super Bowl incidentally at the home of the Cowboys. And so, you know, there's that factor and there's this incredible just level of irony and coincidence that, you know, it was Mike McCarthy's Packers that challenged the Dez catch that knocked Dak Prescott and Zeke Elliott out of the playoffs in their rookie season. And that has kind of been their thorn, you know, the thorn of the Cowboys side. I mean, and so having all that kind of come together, it's just been weird. You know, it would be weird if it was, you know, one coach that fit all of those qualifiers, but the fact that it was Mike McCarthy has been fun and interesting. I have to imagine it's, you know, I've talked a lot to Pete Sweeney about this, our friend, and kind of gotten the feel, certainly got the feel at the Super Bowl about, you know, Andy Reid. It does. I know it's a comp that a lot of people are trying to make. It feels like that somebody who had a lot of success somewhere and things just kind of fizzled out. I think we've all been in situations where we just need to change the scenery. And it obviously worked out well for Andy Reid and the Chiefs. And I think that there's a lot of reason to suggest that it could work out well for Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys. And I think, you know, there are so many analytically driven people that are kind of chirping up and kind of championing the cause of the Cowboys. And that is the weirdest place to be at. I feel like we went from the Stone Age to like our iPhones, like in one fell swoop, you know what I mean? Like we missed everything in between. And so that has been really, really fun to accelerate all that change. But so yeah, it feels like we're caught up to modern times, which is not what you're used to feeling when it comes to the Cowboys.
RJ, all of those changes have now led to tons of speculation by national media about the Cowboys and that they're going to be the next dynasty, they're going to win the next Super Bowl or are going to be a Super Bowl contender for the next however many years. Dak Prescott, the quarterback, an NFL MVP dark horse. How realistic is all of this speculation and what do you think is going to happen?
I think that, you know, On paper, the Cowboys have every reason to believe in them as a legitimate team. They have one of the game's, you know, whatever mood you're in, 7 or 8, 10 best quarterbacks in Dak Prescott. They have one of the best running backs in the NFL. They have maybe the third best offensive line. They now have maybe the best wide receiver group in the NFL. They have a defense that's and I think that that's, you know, an example of why there's more optimism is this is a defense that has, you know, obviously took a lot of what they did from the Seattle Seahawks. Chris Richard joined their staff and obviously was a big part in developing the Legion of Boom there. And they developed sort of the schematic approach that Seattle had. And it just wasn't for them. It was more of a conservative approach, more keeping everything in front of you and not letting any big plays develop. But it does seem like they're going to play a bit more aggressively. And it seems like they've understood, look, we've got an offense that should be able to score 35 points a game. So that allows us to play aggressively on defense. And you know, if we give up a big play, we give up a touchdown, okay, cool, we'll just go score again. And I think that's, at least from my perspective, that's the way the Chiefs have played. That's the way the 49ers played. And that's why those teams have really had successes. And I think that the Cowboys meet all of those requirements, whereas I think they've been a really good team before in a conservative way. I think Jason Garrett's Cowboys You know, if all 22 starters were healthy and the plan went 70% correctly, they generally had success. But the reality of football is that that's just not going to happen. I think, you know, so much was made about, for example, the Cowboys signing Andy Dalton, which made for a long week in our lives with Dak Prescott's contract situation. Yeah. But even something like that, you know, for so long, the Cowboys have just kind of paid no mind to the backup quarterback position. And, you know, you look at the Chiefs and obviously, you know, how important a backup quarterback was to their run last year. The Cowboys, I think they're eliminating reasons to lose. They're getting rid of all these excuses and they're trying to raise their floor. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of reason to believe they're a contender in the NFC. I'd still take them over the Philadelphia Eagles, even though Philly won the division last year. I just think top to bottom, the Cowboys roster is more full. And I think they have the best quarterback in the division. And that obviously goes a long way.
How much of that, we know how much of a hand that Jerry Jones has over the team. How much of it is his influence versus how much of it is Mike McCarthy? Or is it a pretty even combination of the two?
You know, in Jerry's time, at least, for the last kind of like 15 years, we've seen, and I think we see this a lot in the NFL, you know, when things go awry with one coach and they move on to another, it's kind of like, you know, well, I didn't spend enough quality time with my significant other and that relationship. And so this time I'm really, you know, we're going to have movie nights and you know, I'm going to cook dinner all the time. And, you know, you kind of pledge to be the person that you feel like you could have been in the previous relationship. And so you swing from one extreme to the other. And I think we saw that when the Cowboys swung from Bill Parcells to Wade Phillips. They went from this super disciplinarian coach to super relaxed and super chill. And then they found Jason Garrett, who was kind of this middle, medium, you know, sort of blend of everything. And he didn't have as much control, I think, as other head coaches have, but he certainly had his fair say in what went on. But I think that they've realized, look, I mean, our head coach needs to be a bigger part of our process and needs to be a bigger part of our brain trust. And so it does seem like Mike McCarthy has had a huge influence. And I think you can point to a lot of examples, you know, to this point. It's obviously only been a few months that he's been the Cowboys head coach. But I think the best one is, you know, the Cowboys signed Aldon Smith, which is like the fifth biggest thing they've done this offseason, which is kind of a typical Cowboys offseason. But that, you know, in learning about that and what went on in there, Mike McCarthy was, you know, kind of recruiting or meeting Aldon Smith while the playoffs were going on, last season's NFL playoffs. And, you know, kind of feels like Mike McCarthy had decided, you know, wherever I end up coaching, I kind of want Aldon Smith to be a part of that. And so that to me, that we hadn't really seen a lot of that from Jason Garrett, you know, kind of him writing for one cause or writing for one idea. And we've already got several of those instances in Mike McCarthy's leadership and Mike McCarthy's time with the Cowboys. And so it does seem like at the very least, he has more control than Jason Garrett. And, you know, people will always kind of debate, you know, how involved Jerry is. But I do think that Jerry and Steven and Will McClay, who's their scouting director, have done a great job of kind of leaving the coaching things up to Mike McCarthy and his staff.
As we've talked about now, Mike McCarthy, the new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. But RJ, he's taking over this team in the middle of a global pandemic. So what challenges do you see McCarthy and the Cowboys having to overcome to get ready and to the point that a lot of people are expecting them to be at for 2020?
I think it's difficult to go through a coaching change, pandemic aside, when you're dealing with a contract issue with your quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, Dak Prescott had said at the Super Bowl that he was prepared to miss OTAs and things like that if he didn't have a deal. And obviously, you know, that opportunity, if you want to call it that, didn't present itself for Dak to kind of, you know, use that leverage, so to speak. And so, you know, Mike McCarthy, for example, was asked in the lead up to the NFL draft, once the Cowboys had kind of started their virtual meetings, if Dak had been present. And it was actually kind of awesome. He kind of just refused to answer. Which, you know, sucked in terms of creating content, but was just cool to see somebody kind of wield, you know, that large of a force and that large of a presentation that he just was not going to answer the question. It was very unlike Jason Garrett. And so I think it's, you know, the Dak stuff will hopefully work itself out. I think there's a lot of reason to believe that it will. I think that's probably the biggest challenge. And to handle that amid the pandemic has obviously made things a little bit more complicated than they usually would be. But the Cowboys have a nucleus of players that are all, you know, fairly young and have been young together and have experienced a lot of things together. Went to the playoffs, won the division 2 years ago together. And so I think that team chemistry is there. And I think, you know, the most important thing is this is a team that's going to be built around their offense. And they did retain Kellen Moore, their offensive coordinator. So a lot of that continuity is there, at least.
We're talking with RJ Choa, the managing editor-in-chief of Blogging the Boys with SB Nation. And let's talk about Dak Prescott now, because this new contract is really headlining a lot of news right now in the NFL. And Patrick Mahomes, as we know, is another young quarterback who's working on that new deal. But how likely is it that Dak gets that new long-term deal figured out? And as we've seen with reports, he's looking for $45 million. Is that realistic? What do you make of this negotiation right now?
You know, it feels like there's something every year, and I don't, maybe that's just like the Cowboys of it all. Maybe that's how every team feels. I don't know. But it feels like there's always just this thing that is annoying, you know, like you just can't ever, you know, chill in the off season. And this is, you know, this is that. And I think what makes it so annoying is that there are people that debate Dak Prescott and debate his merits and whether he's worth this, whether he's worth that. And what makes it difficult is that quarterbacks like Pat Mahomes exist for people to compare him to, however unrealistic that may be. I would be stunned if Dak doesn't have a new deal by the deadline on July 15th, just because this is a team that is, I'm not super fond of the term win now or the term window, but a team that is kind of operating in a particular window of time. I think Mike McCarthy's hire shows that, you know, look, we didn't, you know, there was a lot of rumors the Cowboys had interest in Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. They clearly were not committed to a total rebuild, like say Carolina with Matt Rhule. They clearly feel like they're close. And so that's why they went and got a Mike McCarthy. And so I don't know why you would want to go at this thing without your star quarterback if you do feel that way. I think that, you know, the in terms of if $45 million a year is conceivable, I think that, you know, Dak Prescott is a franchise quarterback, and franchise quarterbacks are worth market rate. So if the market rate is $45 million, as crazy as that sounds to some people, yeah, he's worth it. I mean, whatever the market rate is, Dak Prescott is worth that. And, you know, Pat Mahomes, we've talked a lot about him, will be a bit of an outlier in that. Like, typically, obviously, it is, okay, who's the last guy that got paid? I'm going to beat that. Pat's a little bit different, I think. And I think that's universally acknowledged. But, you know, but whatever Pat signs for, if he were to sign before Dak, will still elevate the price. And that is, I think, everyone's biggest criticism of the Cowboys, is that they have shown an inability, whether it be with Dak Prescott or any of the other players they've paid in recent history, DeMarcus Lawrence, Zeke Elliott, Dez Bryant 5 years ago. I mean, they've shown an inability to forecast the market and to predict the way it's going to go. They've just kind of waited to the last second. I mean, like, you know, like have you ever like online shopped and like, you're like, man, this is like a really low price right now. I should just buy it now, but you got lazy and didn't do it. And then, you know, when you actually needed it, yep, you're like, oh man, the sale's gone. But I still need this, so I'm just going to pay the price because I need it. That's how they approach the most important contracts that they hand out, which is unfortunate, but they still ultimately get them all done.
That's a great point that you bring up with the market rate for a franchise quarterback, because I agree, that is what Dak Prescott is for the Cowboys, and so he should be making that rate, whatever the market is telling them that it is. And yeah, Patrick Mahomes is an outlier in that, but I think what has been difficult in, you know, reading through all of the analysis and opinions on the quarterback, you know, paying the quarterback situation right now, is that you can't compare Dak Prescott to Patrick Mahomes. It's not apples to apples. That being said, what do you think Patrick Mahomes is going to make?
Well, so Pat is awesome, and I think that that's important because he's not just this, you know, uber talented player. He's marketable and he's funny and he's charismatic and, you know, he's having the success that he's having for a really unique part of the country and a really passionate part of the country, you know, and a really visible team now and a rich historic team. I think all those factors play in. I think that Dak, for example, needs to top Jared Goff's $110 million in total guarantees. I wouldn't be stunned if Pat Mahomes eclipses $150 million in total guarantees. I wouldn't be stunned if Pat Mahomes' contract is $200 million in total value and is 100% guaranteed. I mean, if any precedent is out the window with Pat Mahomes, and that's, you know, I imagine the fun part for Kansas City fans and things like that. And I think that the true sort of, you know, crazy thing about that is that it could be $500 million and nobody would care. Like, nobody would care at all.
Like, if they could find the money, then it just like, yeah, okay,
like,
sure.
It would be like, that's fine. Like, we need to have a bake sale, like raise extra, like liquid cash. We'll do it. And I'm that would be fun to, you know, be a part of and just kind of steer into and roll into. But yeah, I mean, Pat will set a bar, I think, that won't be eclipsed for a while in you know, professional football. And I think that, you know, there's all the reason in the world to believe that he deserves it and that he's only kind of just beginning.
So I want to talk about the Super Bowl now, because in the AFC, at least, the overall consensus is that it's a two-horse race between the Chiefs and the Ravens. And barring any unforeseen circumstances or upsets, it's going to be between, most likely, those two teams to get to the Super Bowl. But the NFC is a little bit different. The Cowboys are a team being thrown around as far as, hey, a potential NFC contender for the Super Bowl. Let's say it is the Chiefs and the Cowboys in Super Bowl 55. You mentioned the receiving group with the Cowboys right now and how it is, you know, you could argue maybe one of the best in the NFL. The Chiefs, with their run it back campaign, bringing back a lot of their talent. How do you see those two offenses competing against one another, and what would that game look like?
Well, I would hope it would be like this, like 51-49 game. That would be awesome and stressful and crazy and amazing and beautiful and chaotic. I wouldn't pick, if the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl again, they're beating whoever. I mean, I don't care. I mean, they're winning again until they're not a part of it or not winning it. As far as I'm concerned, they have, you know, Pat Mahomes makes them that special. Obviously Kansas City has some dynamic players and Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. And, you know, there's a lot of reasons to believe in them. I'm a big fan, by the way, of like those campaigns, like run it back. Like, I know it's more like a baseball term. Like, I enjoy that a lot, like kind of a slogan for the year. I mean, I think the Cowboys would maybe, I think they would go shot for shot with the Chiefs for a while. You know what I mean? Like, if you're talking your typical like night out, it would be like 11:30 at night when the Cowboys would like start to kind of quit. And, you know, you're all of a sudden looking over at the Chiefs wondering, like, how are you still alive? Like,
they've gone to get pizza. The Chiefs just ordered another round. I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, and not even just ordering pizza. They're like chugging water. I mean, you know, and like calling the Uber, and, you know, they're ready to quit and they're ready to punt on it. Meanwhile, the Chiefs are just totally fine. They're like playing dominoes or like pitching washers or something like that, completely unfazed. But it would be fun. And I'm a fan of historic teams and historic teams meeting in the Super Bowl. So I think Cowboys Chiefs would be a lot of fun. I think that, you know, there've been some fun matchups between the Cowboys and Chiefs in recent memory. There was the Tyreek Hill, Hail Mary at the end of the first half last time they played. You know, there was the Miles Austin game in 2009. So that was a lot of fun. It would be cool. And I think, you know, Dak Prescott is this marketable guy, and obviously you've got the Cowboys brand. I think if you've got the biggest brand in the Cowboys and the biggest individual brand in Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid and Mike McCarthy, it would have everything. And
yeah,
I think it'd be weird to put that in Tampa. I think it'd be more like a cool, like California Super Bowl. But still, I mean, it would be great. And that two great uniforms, which would be a lot of fun to watch too.
That's another great point. They would visually look very nice on the field together. But I think, you know, the Tampa thing, I just think that the NFL has been behind it the whole time with Tom Brady going to now what is Tampa Bay. I think it's all by design. But before I get into a couple of questions as it relates to what this season might look like with the pandemic and so much uncertainty, I want to go back to one thing on Dak, because you talk about just kind of the criticism he receives and the question of whether or not he's a franchise quarterback, which you believe he is. And the one thing is his ability last season, specifically in the clutch moments. And the Cowboys were just 1-6 against playoff teams. And Dak had as many picks as he did touchdowns in those games. How much of some of those shortcomings were Dak, and how much was Jason Garrett?
I think that your average Cowboys fan would say it was 100% Jason Garrett. I don't think that's fair to anybody. I think the best microcosm of that phenomenon for the last, you know, 3 years, 4 years, all of Dak's career, was the Minnesota game last season. The Cowboys were playing against the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, and it had been kind of this back and forth game, and Dak had really kind of shown up. And was leading this incredible drive. I think he was 6 of 7 for, or something like that. I knew this stat off the top of my head for a while, but it's, you know, I've been watching too many, you know, movies and things like that in the pandemic. But he was marvelous on this final drive. And the Cowboys got down to the goal line and ran it with Zeke twice. And just to no one's understanding, it was very weird and very, you know, you have this, and you kind of, and I remember the tweets in that moment where this is the MVP drive, or this is the drive that puts Dak in the MVP conversation, you know, because it's on Sunday Night Football and it's going to be this big win. And everything looked like it was pointing in that direction, but the Cowboys run it with Zeke. They're unable to score a touchdown. They have this weird punt situation where they give Tavon Austin these improper instructions. And then later the week afterwards, Jason Garrett kind of threw Tavon Austin under the bus for that and kind of, you know, refused to take any responsibility. And that was when everything kind of broke. And it felt like, you know, before all of that, everything was good. Everything was fine. Kind of like the Tyreek Hill, you know, Hail Mary game. That game, the Cowboys were really great. And Dak Prescott was awesome in 2017. And the week after that was when Zeke Elliott was suspended. And everything fell apart. The Cowboys went to Atlanta. Dak got sacked like 7 times. And so I think there have just been these breakpoints that have, I don't want to say broken Dak or broken a season, but have really changed everything. And I think that's where I would place fault on Jason Garrett, having, you know, an inability to plan, an inability to adjust, an inability to adapt. Because if the plan didn't go completely according to plan, whether it was for Dak or the whole team, you know, they just didn't win. And so I think that, you know, Pat Mahomes has been hitched to Andy Reid. I think Lamar Jackson's hitched to, you know, John Harbaugh. Every young prominent quarterback, save for Deshaun Watson, has had a head coach that, you know, really can elevate his game. And so I think that with that, you know, Dak has, I don't want to say succeeded in spite of Jason Garrett, but he's, you know, he's not had that person to order his pizza or to call his Uber. You know, he's had to do it kind of in the face of a rough night, which isn't necessarily the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be really exciting to see those two paired up. And like you mentioned, who knows, maybe we could see a Super Bowl with Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott. But RJ, the other big question ahead of 2020 has nothing to do with the players themselves and everything to do with the current state that our world is in and what a football season might look like. As we know, Major League Baseball, Major League Soccer, the NBA, all postponed, trying to figure out how to finish their seasons. And luckily for the NFL, they have some time, but not much. I feel like the fall is going to creep up on us, and whether the NFL is going to be caught with, you know, their hands up, like we don't know what to do, or they've got a plan in place. How do you see this whole thing playing out, whether fans are allowed or not? I mean, it's just really hard to imagine how the NFL financially is going to adjust if they aren't able to bring in that revenue.
Well, I agree that the fall is going to be here really quickly. Like, it always feels like the spring and summer are just these kind of like days we get through just to get to football. You know what I mean? But it kind of feels like we're just like simulating that in a weird way. I think, to your point, I think the NFL is fortunate to have the ability to watch a lot of things and understand how the NBA goes about this. I think MLS is an important factor just because so many teams play in NFL stadiums, and a lot of those factors and a lot of environmental conditions are the same. And so I mean, if I, you know, I'm certainly not a doctor. I don't know if that's obvious, but I would imagine that, you know, are there going to be fans? You know, maybe. And if I don't think there will be 100% capacity. I don't see how that's possible, given the state of our world. I think, you know, maybe it's a situation where, you know, you have condensed fans, and, you know, they're more spread out. You know, every fan is, you know, 5 rows apart, or, you know, 10 columns or whatever apart. So you get some people in there. I think that that's possible. I don't know that you even want to do that, though, because how long until, you know, somebody else is on their way to pizza and an Uber and has too good of a time and gets too close to somebody or whatever the case may be. So there's a lot of risk involved, certainly. But I think a season, the NFL, you know, amazingly has trudged on with the draft and free agency. And so I don't know that they are, you know, going to be delayed. I think it's fascinating they built in, you know, kind of a fail safe in their schedule where every week two teams opponents have the same bye or whatever it is. But I think at the end of the day, I would be stunned if the NFL season isn't played or it really is delayed. I think college football certainly could be delayed, which would be a bit of a bummer. Although I'm a Texas A&M alum, and so, you know, we never really have anything to be too pumped up about. But
hey, I graduated from the University of Missouri, so I feel your pain.
Yeah, well, oh, by the way, Derek Dooley left the Cowboys for Mizzou, so congrats there. But I just, you know, there's such a different factor there. I mean, you know, I think the hypocrisy becomes more obvious, right? If you don't have students on campus, how can you play games? And the NFL doesn't have that factor. And the NFL has, I think that of every professional sports league in America, I think the NFL has the largest set of advantages to beginning their season in terms of time, in terms of financial backing. I think there's no question that they're going to lose money. But if any professional sports league in America can withstand that, I think it's certainly the NFL. I guess I'm also curious, like, how that must feel, you know, for the Kansas City Pulse. I mean, like, this, wouldn't this be like the time where like the Chiefs are like getting their rings and like there's cool ceremony for that? Like, that just must suck. I mean, a lot of this sucks. I mean, it all sucks, but, you know, that just, would be a unique thing to experience.
RJ, thank you so much for the time. We will be talking again real soon. You can find RJ on Twitter at RJ Ochoa. That's RJ OCHOA, and you can also find him online posting fantastic content for Blogging the Boys, the SB Nation site covering the Dallas Cowboys. We will take a break and be back after this on Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.